I'm very happy now to welcome to the Radio Cafe Jordan Eddy and Kyle Farrell. They are co-founders of the Strangers Collective, which is having an exhibition that opens at the Santa Fe Community Convention Center Gallery, the community gallery, this Friday at 5 in the afternoon. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
So tell us about the Strangers Collective. You, Jordan, are a writer, and you, Kyle, are an artist, and this is a group of all kinds of creative people.
Yeah. So Strangers Collective started in our friend Erica's living room about 2 years ago. Was it 2 years
ago? Just about.
And she had this little apartment right off of Acequia Madre Road, so right near Canyon Road. And Erica and I were working in galleries on Canyon Road with very established artists. And we were just sitting in her living room on Acequia Madre and talking about all of our young artist friends who were making art in their living rooms and bedrooms and not really exhibiting it anywhere. And it was incredible art. They really deserved this exposure, and they weren't getting it. And Erica had just moved into this house, and we looked around, and all the walls were blank, and it looked exactly like a little Canyon Road gallery space. And so we thought, okay, well, we'll just throw an art show in this apartment. And so our first show, we got a little group of friends together. How many of us were there?
It was probably just 15. Yeah. So of artists and writers, and
which is a lot.
And that was something that was really surprising. I mean, just even as we were talking and forming this idea of doing this, it was a surprise. You know, there were people that we knew kind of in a casual way, but then to find out that they were making art, and that, you know, it was one of our artists is a really incredible stone carver, and we had no idea, and we'd known him for a little while, and just very casually. And
right, he was like carving stone in his parents' backyard in this little tent. Right.
So, yeah. And so it was really great to find out to know Ben, and then to get to know him better, and then know him as a really incredible artist. And so we were building this, the tiny network was already there. And so it was great for that first show. And that was a big reason, just right off the bat, we knew a lot of writers as well. So it felt, of course, easier in a sense to fill the walls, but we wanted to do something with the writers. And, so we had them each make zines, and they could make a book any way they wanted. And
now zines, that's such a sort of like 80s and 90s.
Yeah, totally.
But you know, I mean, now I think we're like quasi nostalgic for that era a little bit, you know.
Well, so. Yeah, I'm just reading an article about how books are making a comeback after this whole world of e-books.
Right,
I read that piece too. Yeah, interesting.
And so we're sort of going through cycles, and the comeback of, now for those of our listeners who are maybe too old or too young, tell us what zines are.
So zines are just little booklets, often made on a copy machine, you know, so a little gritty, a little bit of just DIY, you know, do it yourself. And they can have poetry in them. They can have fiction. I do experimental nonfiction stuff and some interview stuff. And because I also work as an arts writer, doing freelance stuff. So yeah, it's kind of, we called it a zine because it sounds a little bit less intimidating, right? You can kind of like put together any sort of thing you want. One of our artists did sketches, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. More so than a journal, or calling it, you know, a book, which I think adds a lot of pressure. But
right. Yeah. Right. It's a zine, you know?
Yeah.
But I think that, yeah, I mean, we had all these artist friends and writer friends who weren't exhibiting anywhere and weren't publishing, but were really talented. And I think there's a reason for that in this town. I think it's a really established scene, which we really respect. There's a long history of artists coming here and, you know, very established artists showing here, which is something that I think drew all of us here. But, you know, we want to see more space opening up for younger artists. You know, I think these artists really deserve a little bit more exposure, and there should be a dialogue between those communities, of course. Mm-hmm. But I guess what I'm saying is it can be really intimidating for young artists to look at this scene and look at all of these galleries and say, you know, can I place myself in any of these places? So the pop-up shows that we started doing became interventions almost.
So where did you go when you got out of the first living room?
So we did, yeah, we did two shows in our living room. And then after the second one, it just got too big to realistically do it there. And then so we are, one of our writers, Kelly Skeen, found a Craigslist posting from Artifact and Artifactory. It's the consignment shop and gallery space on Baca Street. They were looking for guest curators. We wrote to them immediately, set up a meeting. And, I mean, we really just hit it off with them. And Michael and Jennifer are incredibly supportive and are really interested in an alternative and emerging art scene and doing really, I mean, they do anything that they want. And it's incredible. They put these great shows together.
So it's both a business, like a consignment mm-hmm. business, and a kind of art space for, mm-hmm. sounds like, for people like you.
Exactly, yeah. Uh-huh. So it's really, and I mean, yes.
And so, yeah, so, and it's interesting because Michael and Jennifer of Artifact and the Artifactory Gallery, which is adjoining their consignment shop space, have a history of doing work like this that stretches back to the beginning of their relationship when they were living in LA. They were young artists, and I think, well, she's a writer and he's an artist actually, and they had started doing these house shows that they called
Houseworks.
Nice. That were very similar to the salons that we were doing in Erica's living room. And so we really connected very quickly. And in LA they had also had a gallery space with a consignment shop in the back, and then they moved to Santa Fe and reversed it. So they had a consignment shop with a gallery space in the back. So it's this, you know, this little room, and it was the perfect size for, I think, mm-hmm. 17 artists at that time for the first show, which was in July of last year. Mm-hmm. And it was really exciting. We got some exposure for these artists, which we weren't able to do when we were exhibiting in a living room, right? We couldn't really list it in the Santa Fe Reporter.
Right.
But we were the reporter pick, and Enrique wrote a little piece about us. And in that one, we were on the front page of the New Mexican as the PASA pick, you know, in the like the corner of the New Mexican. And so just to see a couple of the artist names in the corner of the New Mexican that said, you know, PASA pick, go to the Strangers right. show, was really exciting because if one unknown artist tried to mount a solo show and promote it like that, you know, who knows? I mean, maybe they could.
It's harder.
It's just,
it's a strength in numbers.
Right.
Exactly.
Band together, put a name on it, talk about it as a sort of story about a radical movement coming into town, and then maybe all of these unknown artists can start showing their work. So we got some images in different publications, all sorts of stuff. It was really exciting. It was an exciting move.
Now, do you also have readings of poetry or of your writings? Is that part of it, as well as the zines?
We've done that was part of it too. So with the at the openings there would be readings, the previous openings that we'd done. And then we were also doing throughout the summer and winter a salon series that started at Historic Santa Fe Foundation.
Santa Fe Foundation, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And El Zaguán. And so we were constantly doing readings all summer. And that was, we were participating in that and then helped with some of the organization. Ariana Lombardi, that's also one of our writers, really got that going.
Yeah.
And yeah, so there was a need for it. And there just is a need for this engagement and sharing and getting feedback and hanging your work. And so we would have art and the readings for those salons.
That was a really exciting thing too, because that was at the El Zaguán Artist Residency at Historic Santa Fe Foundation, which is right on Canyon Road. And, you know, I had been working at Matthews Gallery, which shows historic New Mexico artwork, a lot of New Mexico modernism. And so to learn about these young art movements that came out here in the mid-century, and then to be throwing salons in the same buildings, actually, I mean, Georgia O'Keeffe would stay there, you know, at El Zaguán, you know, for a night or two before she would go up to Abiquiú and stuff. I mean, that's was sort of a hub for, you know, Willa Cather wrote Death Comes to the Archbishop in that building. And the layout of the building reflects one of the buildings in the book, you know, so there was a sense of history and a sense of really the radicalism of those movements back then. I mean, now we look at George O'Keefe's works or Alfred Morang's works and they seem like
classics.
They're so familiar, right?
Yeah.
But they really were artists in their 20s and 30s who were sacrificing everything to come out into the middle of nowhere, and they banded together and started showing artwork, and it, you know, so I think that that really inspired me, at least in my time with the collective, and working on figuring out how to bring back sort of an avant-garde to the Santa Fe art community, because so much of the artwork is very commercial, you know?
You were talking at the beginning about how there's a whole art tradition here that goes back not only to Georgia O'Keeffe, but also, I mean, people who are established artists who are showing in galleries and so on right now. How are you connecting with them? Like, how are you sort of bridging the generations of artists in this town?
For us, that's a part of that is trying to do, we've done a lot of the shows downtown, and that's kind of coming into that space has been a big part of it. I think, and just engaging in those, you know, not trying to totally separate, but also recognizing that there's a need for, a big part of when we do the openings, they have to go past 7 o'clock. It's really difficult for a lot, especially young people, to get to an opening that's only from 5 to 7.
Right.
And that's the standard here. And so it's...
So the one this Friday is from 5 to 8.
Yeah, it's from 5 to 8. And right. So, I mean, it's, you know, and others have gone to 9, 10 o'clock. It's just, you know, very dependent on the space. And it's just, but we want, it's a lot of young people work, you know, in those galleries or in service jobs, restaurants, and, you know, their hours are not, they're not done at 4:30. It's not,
right.
You know, so we want them to be able to participate and engage in this. So that's a big part of it is to kind of be seen in the bigger art community, but to provide something for a younger community that maybe feels that they can't engage in the way that they want with the larger art scene that's here.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And I think that we're certainly, so at this point, gallery spaces are starting to approach us to do shows, which is really exciting. It feels like a total breakthrough because that was not happening previously. And we've been surprised by how many more established art spaces are willing to work with us and take a chance. Because, of course, these names don't, you know, we haven't built reputations in the art world. But people kind of tap into that energy and get really excited. So over the next couple months, we'll be making some announcements about showing in very established art spaces, which is very exciting. And we can't talk about it yet, but I think we've been kind of just like blown away by the fact that people are really, and that they attend our events. Because of course, if their opening goes till 7, then they can also come to our openings if they go later. But yeah, I mean, I think a big part of it has been recognizing that Santa Fe structurally limits a certain set's ability to be involved, right? Like Kyle was saying, if it goes until 7, you get out of work at 6:15, you can't really get there. Or, you know, you're working a service job and you just, you know, you're working evenings or whatever.
Well, that does bring up a question that I wanted to ask you guys, which is how are people in the Strangers Collective making a living?
I mean, everybody has a full-time job that's kind of the day job, the one that pays the bills. And then, so this really is, I mean, and that's what's incredible. I mean, we're working with 37 people and everybody's very committed and putting a lot of time in outside of, you know, their that chunk of the day that goes to that one job into making art, and they were doing it anyway. And so it's, yeah, I mean, that's just for everybody.
Right. And so many of our artists did go to art school, do have their bachelor's in fine arts. But I think they, you know, after graduating, hadn't even considered the fact that they might not have a studio space or might not have access to those materials. You know, things get a lot harder when after you graduate.
Not to mention the loans.
Right. Yeah. Right. Paying off the loans. And so, you know, I think that this is a group of serious, really serious artists who want to put on professional shows. You know, all of the work is for sale and are still kind of dreaming like that about, you know, can I be a professional artist or at least, you know, show as a professional artist and have another job. And that's a question that we're all asking ourselves right now is, are we going to be able to take that leap at some point?
Well, and building that community also, just having this group where we've started and just really responding to the feedback that we're getting from in the time that we're doing this, where getting together to do critiques has been really helpful and important and something that people ask for. And it's been really positive experience and getting to see the work, doing studio visits, we're really building a community. Yeah. And just kind of opening networks. So if someone, sharing all of these resources and, you know, it's even with the zines, it's like, and I'm sure Bucket will talk about this, but how it's, it turns out it's like pretty difficult to get like a copy of booklet and get it made in town.
Is it really? Well, we'll talk about that.
Yeah, but chill. Yeah. but sharing that, and some people haven't done it before and they want to and maybe haven't thought about that. And
also like it extends even outside of kind of art things. We've helped people find apartments. We've helped people connect people with potential employers. Yeah. People have gotten jobs. You know, I mean, there's this whole crazy network of a support network that you just don't often find after you graduate, you know?
At any time, really.
Yeah. But I mean, particularly in the sort of art making realm, you know, when you're not in school or when you're not doing some sort of workshop or something or whatever, you just don't have deadlines, you know? And so it can be hard to work on like a whole body of work that you feel really good about. And this gives kind of this arbitrary deadline for people to, or not so arbitrary, I guess, now, because it's not just in a living room. It's, you know,
it's at the community gallery here.
Yeah.
And we are broadcasting from the community gallery here in downtown Santa Fe. And I have to say the work is very good. I mean, you and I, Jordan, sort of made an appointment over the phone, sight unseen, and I was like, what am I getting myself into? Like, are these guys going to be just, like, amateurs? But no, it's very, very good work, and it's very thoughtful and interesting and varied work among all the different artists who are going to be showing here. Now, have you guys come from far and wide? Is it a kind of local Santa Fe scene partly, people who were born and raised here?
It's a really great mix of people that were born and raised here and
around the state.
Yeah, and around the state. Yeah, exactly. And then people that have been here for, I mean, a year or more, you know, or
I've
some
been
amount
here
of time.
For
yeah.
almost 4 years. Kyle's been here for 3.5 years. I mean, it's a big mix for sure.
And how did you call yourselves the Strangers Collective?
Well, I mean, as the network started growing, which, you know, as we talked about before, it kind of leapt into being, you know, it kind of suddenly happened, and then the next show it was bigger, and then the next show it was crazy. And we realized there was this huge demand for carving out some sort of space for young creatives in this town that was pretty untapped. And it was more than just our network that was feeling that way. You know, it was there were people one link away from us and two links away from us who felt the same way and who were so like-minded that meeting them felt like meeting friends, and yet they were strangers, you know. So the idea was, oh, there's this whole, you know, you have to think that way in a place like this. There's this whole network of strangers out there that you can connect with and that you can start operating with in this way. And I hope that encourages other people as well. There are so many other really cool alternative art projects kind of breaking the surface right now. And that felt also kind of like this interesting thing of strangers, kind of other groups, working towards the same goals, which has been really encouraging.
So the show opens this Friday. It's called Narrows. Why did you choose that name?
You want to talk about the...
Yeah, we a lot of times when we're planning and kind of coming up and bouncing ideas around, I at the time, at the end of 2015, so end of last year, was reading a biography on Lee Krasner. I was really interested in... I really wanted to know more specifically about the time when she and Jackson Pollock were married and working at the same place. And, you know, everybody kind of knows about this giant barn that he worked in, and how she was in a small guest room, and it just, so that kind of tiny space and what that meant, and how it, you know, she worked really big before him and worked really big after him, and that,
yeah,
kind of negotiating space and what their roles were. And
you know, I think as emerging artists, we can really relate to that, right? Because none of us, I think, have a separate studio space. We're all working in domestic spaces, very narrow domestic spaces. And that process of moving artwork from a tiny domestic space where you created it to a giant white box gallery space is super invigorating, but really terrifying as well, right? It's almost like this process of breaking something open or unfurling something in this way, because you don't even get to see the work in that context until it's totally done and you bring it in and it's on the wall. I mean, the whole process of making it is in this tiny, often much darker kind of space.
Yeah.
So it was definitely a reference to those narrow sort of spaces. And of course, Narrows is also a nautical term, you know, for a rocky strait that leads to a wider bay, right? So some sort of process of navigating a perilous strait in your ship and trying to get out to this wider bay really resonated with us.
Yeah, and we like having a theme or a title that's specific and loose enough at the same time. So, and everybody can really interpret it in different ways. And
right, it's become so much more than that,
right,
since we decided on that title.
Yeah, it's our last show, our last really big show was called No Land. And, you know, you kind of, is the fear calling it No Land, you're afraid, are we going to get a bunch of landscapes? And we didn't at all. And it just, you know, it's, so it's really incredible. I don't know, everybody just, the way they take that, how, I think a lot of the work is very personal, which is exciting.
Yeah. Well, once again, Jordan Eddy and Kyle Farrell are co-founders of the Strangers Collective. The show opens this Friday at 5:00 at the Community Gallery at the Santa Fe Community Convention Center. And we're going to continue talking to different artists and writers from the collective. So we're going to take a break and we'll be back in a moment. Thank you guys so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Great. Thank you
very much.